So I want to welcome everybody here. It's so exciting, on a whole nother level of excitement. We have a really special kind of program to dedicate our space. It's both ceremonial, and we'll have some talking and sitting. We're trying to squeeze all that in an hour. maybe not. But we're going to start with doing something that we don't normally do. And so I want to welcome all of you online so that you feel as connected. And we will change the... Let me see if I scoot over here. You can see me a little better. We will change the screen so that you see us when we're up in front also. But for now, we want to have a little processional and come into this space in a form. Oh, the baby! What an entrance! So happy! Yeah, he starts our procession. So we are going to have, a processional, and we're going to start with a chant. And so we all kind of can get this chant together. I hope you'll join with me. And and then we'll bring some Brahmaviharas, some metta into the space. All right? So I'll start it, and then you just join as you know it. We're just going to do the metta chant. Metta karuna mudita upeka. 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 Last time. Metta karuna mudita upeka. Metta karuna mudita upeka.
Thank you.
So thank you all again for being here. I have had my welcome, and I want to pass this to Carrie so that Carrie can also welcome you and Tim can also welcome you.
So welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Yes. So I feel a lot of delight and joy to be with you all today. How's the sound? Just want to make sure people hear, people at home can hear. Okay. A little bit louder would be good. Okay, we'll also be kind of passing back and forth, so we'll be doing that dance today. Yeah? Okay. All right. So, sound is okay? A little closer? Okay, how about that? Good. All right. So just feeling a sense of profound gratitude and happiness to be here in this new space, this light-filled space, quiet sanctuary space that is really the accumulation of so many people's effort and contribution. So we're really entering a field of generosity as we walk in, and that is palpable. We feel that, we receive that, we can take part in that, and we can carry this forward. So I feel a great sense of appreciation and also possibility. Yeah. So delighted to be with you all today.
All right, good afternoon, evening. So wonderful to see all of you here. My name is Tim Guile, one of the guiding teachers. I don't know if you all said your name, so they're so famous they don't need to. Carrie Peterson and Tuare Salah. So Tuare and I are the two guiding teachers, and Carrie Peterson is also a full teacher here at Seattle Insight. So we're very happy and glad to just see everyone here to help us celebrate this opening. I'll talk more about really thanking people and kind of what it took to get here in a little bit. But for right now, thank you so much for coming.
So we are going to have a moment of silence here, and then Aja Nisabal at some point from Clear Mountain Monastery, which we are so grateful that you are here, will do an opening blessing for us.
And I'll awkwardly walk up to that chair to do it, if that's all right.
Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gachantu Devata Sadamham Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagamogaram Sage kamhe charupe girisikaratate chantalikhe vimane dipehirate chakamme Teruana kahame kehe hawa tumekete. Bhumma jayantu deva jalatala visame yaka gandabanaga. Titanta santi keyang muniwara wachanang sadawame sunandu dhamma sawana karo heyang padanda dhamma sawana karo heyang padanda dhamma sawana karo Ayaṃ padanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Dasa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Karaniyam atta kusalena yantang santang parang abhisamecha sako uju chasuhuju chasuvacho chasamudu anatimani Nachakurang samachare kinshiyena winyu pare upavade yung sukinawa kemina hontu sabe sata pawantu sukita taye kechipa nabuta titasawa tawarawa anawase sadigawa ye Mahantava Majima Rasaka Anukatula Metansha Sabalo Kasming Manasambhavaye Aparimanang Udang Ado Chatiriyancha Asampatang Oherang Asapatang Titancharang Nisinova Sayanova Yavata Savigatamito Ditincha Anupageya Nahi chatu gabaseyang punaretiti Iti piso bhagava araham samma sambuddho Vicha charana sampanno sugato Lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma saratisa Tahadeva manusanang Puto bhagavati suvakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanaiko pajatang veditapo vinyu hiti supatipanno bhagavato sahavaka sangho ujupatipanno bhagavato sahavaka sangho nyaya patipanno bhagavato sahavaka sangho samichi patipanno bhagavato sahavaka sangho yadidangcha tari purisa yukani yata purisa pugala esa bhagavato sahavaka sangho ahunayo pahunayo dakinayo anjali karaniyo anuttaram punyaketam lokasati.
Thank you so much, Ajahn Isabeau, for those beautiful words, beautiful chanting. So I'd like to just spend a little time talking about what made this place come together. This is some started back in 1998. Rodney Smith was the founding teacher, and Tuari Salah and myself have been guiding teachers for almost 10 years. Does it feel longer or shorter? So, and over these almost 30 years, these 27 years, SIMS has had different incarnations, if you will. Our first one was Keystone. How many people have started sitting at Keystone? Wow. It's an old timer, so myself too. How many people went to Beth Shalom? It doesn't matter if you started there, if you ever sat there. How about St. Mark's? Yeah. Skinner Hall? Center for Spiritual Living? Soto? UFM upstairs? Right? And you can all raise your hand for down here. So it's been quite a journey. Like my wife was mentioning, like in 2018 when we left Soto, that became this first journey to find a new home for SIMS. And for those who are, number of you here were on the board or involved in the search committee trying to find a new location. And we weren't able to purchase something, but we were able to find this. The Quakers opened their home to us to allow us to rent and to lease from them. And it's been a lovely home. Very, very welcoming, very compatible. And then it was 2021 or so, they let us know that this space became available, right? The leasers had to leave, and so we remodeled it. It hasn't always looked like that, like this, believe it or not. It was lined with office space on either side, and so we had to gut the whole place and then build this whole place out. So it's been an almost three-year process. And so lots of things had to come together. There's lots of struggle and difficulty that we had to work with and overcome. And the SIMS board was, of course, essential to that, the guiding teachers, you know, lead volunteers. But there's some particular people I want to name and just acknowledge their involvement. And that's one of the privileges of being a guiding teacher is that it's also a little bit of a downside that I get to sit in on a lot of meetings and got to see a lot of the underworkings behind the scenes of decisions, of all these processes. There's a few seats up here if anyone wants. There's also cushions, too, if you feel more comfortable. And this space would not come to be without the dedication of so many lead volunteers, people willing to give countless hours, to have countless meetings, to have these decision processes come together, to have the space come together. This is really people caring for the Dharma, caring for this, creating this space for the Dharma to be held, to be open to, for people to move toward liberation. So all your participation is vital to how SIMS continues to evolve. There's a famous line, or famous perspective from the Buddha that, you know, condition, causal conditionality, that with not, if this wasn't here, this wouldn't, with the, basically everything depends upon conditions. If this exists, then that exists. If this ceases to exist, then that ceases to exist. And that applies, of course, to so many aspects of our suffering, to the sense of who we are. It also involves something like this. It needed people to come together in a certain way for her to take this certain form. So today we celebrate all those efforts. We celebrate the accumulation or the fruition of that effort, and also celebrate this moving forward, this next chapter of how Sims will be. And Sims is really something that we create together. It's like your involvement is what makes Sims alive. Your participation, your engagement, your volunteerism. So to give you a small sense of how this space came to be, it began with FUFM, the University Friends Meeting Hall, offering this space to us. So the board had to make this decision. Do we want to commit to the cost and the time to do this? And we thought, well, this kind of checks off. Tori led a task force to see what's the ideal place for Sims. And this actually checks a lot of the boxes, almost all of them. It's a central location. It's close to public transportation. You know, it doesn't have quite as much parking as we'd like, but it has some parking. And it has all those checkpoints. So it was is a really a beneficial thing that it was offered to us. One of the first things we had to do was to start getting a permit, to work on a permit. And Rob Long, back there, you want to raise your hand, Rob? So Rob was in there fighting with the city and trying to convince the city that this is an okay thing to do. And I don't even want to think about how many hours and how many conversations he had. But that was a critical step that had to come together. There was a design team that came together early on to envision what this space would look like, literally how, you know, how far from this wall to that wall, and where's the kitchen going to be, and the colors, all these things. And there was a group of really dedicated people. There was Barbara Irwin. Can you raise your hand, Barbara? You'll hear more about Barbara in a second, too. Deb Silovinsky. Khaled Elazar. Iris Atman, Peter Hummel, and Bob Leverich, who might be online. He's down in Portland. That's one of the gifts of COVID is we've expanded our sangha, that we have people who are actively involved who don't live in Seattle. So this group of people came together and really fleshed out how we wanted to work together, how do we want to make this space look like it does today. And we needed money for this. Did I forget someone?
Yeah.
I said Deb Sileski.
Oh,
yeah, but I forgot to have her raise her hand.
Yeah.
Where's, yeah, she raised her hand. Yes. Yeah, Deb Sileski. Yeah, there's some real key people in the project management team, I'm calling it, that I'll get to in a second. We also needed to raise money. We had a fair amount of money we had saved over the years. It's from Soto and other places, but we also needed to raise more money. And we had two people who really were instrumental to that. We had Suze Appel, who are you? There you are. And Susan Alatrico, close?
Alatrico.
So excuse my pronunciation. I mess that up often. But those two, we had a, what was our goal originally? 100,000, and we raised over 175,000, right? So there's just this we call the Grow Your Dharma Roots program, and many of you have donated. How many people donated in that program? Wow, so many. And then once we kind of had some money, we had the plans, and we had the permit, then there's the actual process of project management. And we just kind of did this almost a little bit ad hoc, that we had a key number of people. We had Barbara Irwin, we had Deb Silovinsky, we had Khaled Elazar, were the three that were really involved in that process, that they met literally weekly, right, and talked about these decisions and worked with the general contractor. And I became a little bit involved later on in the process, the last, I don't know, few months really. But it's, I got to appreciate just how much dedication, how much knowledge they would say. Would ask some question about a light, and Barbara would be able to, you know, figure out what that was. We also had some key professionals who really relied on. One of the foremost person was Sally Nodell. Am I saying your right name right? So Sally's back there. Thank you for coming, Sally. So I got to meet with her since November, I guess, I started doing the weekly meetings. And there's just so much detail and so much expertise that she was able to bring to how the space went. I mean, there's so many like nitty-gritties, like, you know, this outlet or, you know, everything was just, she could access everything so well. And she also helped give us a perspective of how to work with our general contractor. So our general contractor was a company called McNeil DeBose. So Dane DeBose and Malcolm McNeil. So they put a lot of time into making this space come together. And coincidentally, they both had children born during the birth of this process. So it's interesting how there's kind of these dual pregnancies going on. We also had interior designer, who is also very involved early on, Liz Davis. Is Liz here by chance? Yeah. So Liz helped us get a nice coordination of colors and, you know, picking out the right combination. Kelly Stockton donated the art chair that's out there and also built the coat rack and this art chair over here. And then once we got in this space, there's a particular volunteer, Ken Yasuhara, who spent many, many hours figuring out what's the best way to have this hybrid system set up. So the reason you can hear us online, the reason we can have the amplification was due to his efforts and his great dedication. I think he's upstairs right now manning the overflow. So thank you, Ken. I'm assuming he can hear me. And there's many other people that I'm forgetting to name. So it all came together. It all came together with our dedication and our efforts. All the volunteers who helped us move these chairs from our storage unit to set up the kitchen, like Valerie, you know, Beth. There's so many people who have helped this come together. And that's kind of the message that Sims is really, it's a sangha. You know, and that's what makes it alive. That's what makes it so important, that we stay connected. You know, if this exists, then that exists. If we have the volunteers, then Sims continues to thrive and deepen. So today is a celebration. It's a ceremony of this completion, but it's also, even more importantly, the celebration of moving forward. You know, the blessing of the space, the clearing of the air, you know, this sense of how can we co-create this new life of Sims. So I want to thank each one of you for your participation. Thank my fellow teachers. Thank you, Ajahn. And I'll turn over to Tori. You want the mic? Or to Carrie, sorry.
This is a poem by William Stafford. Many of you may recognize this, called The Thread. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you're pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. But it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen, people get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread.
So, we want to make this poem become a reality in a way, because we're actually bound together with something. It's not just the word sangha, and it's not just how large your sangha is. It's the binding that happens with us through whatever we go through and however we do it. So I'd like us to pass this thread around. And even though I didn't ask Carrie, and Carrie does not like it when that whole kind of work with it, deal with it. But I'm hoping that Tim will tie this to the Buddha and that Carrie will help us wind this around the room. And while Carrie's doing that, I will talk a little bit about how this thread is actually connected to us. So we got to give us a give so we don't like pull the Buddha down with it. Have all kinds Thanks of bad karma. There you go. We got plenty here. We just go under there. There. So you take that. We'll take this give here and you can start that way. So when we realized we were going to be in this space, it came to me that this process is more of a weaving our lives with Buddha's life. That it's not just the space. I mean, those of us that you've seen the hands that have gone through all the different iterations of the different places we've been, we have been together. We've seen each other's faces, and we don't even know a lot about everybody's lives. But as soon as we see each other, there is a recognition, a knowing that we are part, like a family. And so I thought that we could begin to see the thread of our Dharma practice and what it is and what it's been with us for years. So I want to start by reading what the world was like when the Buddha first stepped out on his path, just so we can put it in perspective. This is the way he described his understanding when he stepped out on the path. He said, "Fear is born from arming oneself. Just see how many people fight. I'll tell you about the dreadful fear that caused me to shake all over." Sound familiar? Yes. "Seeing creatures flopping around like fish in water too shallow. So hostile to one another. Seeing this, I became afraid. This world completely lacks essence. It trembles in all direction. I longed to find myself a place unscathed, but I could not see it. Seeing people instead locked in conflict, I became completely distraught." Are we getting close to the feeling? But then I discerned here a thorn, hard to see, lodged deep in the heart. It's only when pierced by this thorn that one runs in all directions, so that if that thorn is taken out, one does not run and settles down. So this is actually what I would consider our legacy. This is the baton that gets passed to us. And it's been passed for thousands of years from one group, one practitioner to another. And I want to help you see what I mean by that. So Buddha traveled. I mean, Buddhism started there in India, but eventually it made its way to China and then made its way down to Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, made its way to Japan, and pretty much covered the whole Eastern countries. And then eventually made its way west to Europe, America, it's in Africa. It's all over the world at this point, like the way this thread is like winding around. And in this winding that begins to happen, many practitioners begin to take up the Dhamma. And in Thailand, there was a young novice by the name of, I don't know his first name, I only know him as Ajahn Mun. So Ajahn Mun, he was once like that. And at some point, he took up the Dhamma and he went into the forest to practice. He was young. He had not gone to all this education in school. He went into the forest at a time when there were Bengal tigers roaming around, like they owned the forest, not humans, the way we kind of kill everybody off. But these were Bengal tigers. And he found his way into the forest and began to practice. He began to sit like we do, meditate, study the Dhamma, look for the Dhamma, look for what Tim was pointing to, if this, then that. What does that mean? And gradually, he began to understand wisdom. And from that wisdom, people begin to hear about him and his wisdom, and they would come and talk to him. And one of the people that began to practice under him was Ajahn Chah. We all know Ajahn Chah, such a beloved teacher for many of us. But there is a greater link with Ajahn Chah, because Ajahn Chah started up his monastery. Many Westerners would come to Ajahn Chah's monastery. In fact, he was one of the kind of foremost monasteries for Westerners. And all of a sudden, all these Westerners are coming into Thailand trying to practice. Thailand and Burma, but they're coming to the East to practice because something has touched them. And they begin to come to understand the nature of this thing called Dhamma. And they go to Ajahn Chah's lineage. One of the teachers that was one of the practitioners, the students, one of the young little monks that was young when he first came into the practice was Ajahn Sumedho. And we know Ajahn Sumedho very close. Ajahn Sumedho is from Seattle. And there's been this whole relationship that Seattle Insight has had with him. And the whole Thai community has had with him for years and years and years. And I can still remember the first time I ever came to a Dhamma talk with a monastic was Ajahn Sumedho. And I was floored by the amount of people that was in the room, connected. It was all part of SIMS, Sangha, Seattle Insight. And here I was connected to this whole monastic world. And out of that, teachings, I can remember, and maybe some of you have had his little pamphlet on the Four Noble Truths. And I used to walk around with that pamphlet everywhere I went because it was the first time that I had heard of the Four Noble Truths being talked about as 12 links, 12 understandings, 12 realizations that we would come to. And gradually we would begin to understand. So I would begin to practice, can I understand what these 12 links of the Four Noble Truths were in my own life? And the person I was studying with was Rodney. And Rodney, he's a student of Sumedho, he's a student of Dhammadasa, who is also a Thai forest monk. And I begin to study with that. So did all of us. So this Thai lineage, this Thai forest lineage is who we are. It's who we've always been. And we have for nearly 30 years carried this into existence in Seattle. And we are carrying it even a little further in this new iteration. It's very different here, Seattle Insight is, than it used to be. You know, it used to be, for those of you that weren't part of that original thing with Rodney, you came in and the lights were low you sat in silence for 2 hours. And then you left with the lights low. Just to be clear about it, he would turn the lights off about 10 minutes before the sit started. Just so you came in with the spirit. And I remember coming into Seattle Insight thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? Because I left a black church that was rowdy, and I was coming into a place where it was complete, utter silence. And I loved it. There was something in those days, you could feel the devas swimming around in the ceilings, and they're just being in that the space. And over the years, Dhamma has changed because many people can access that silence and that stillness in their retreat practice and extended day-longs and extended weekend practices. But when you come on a weekday evening, you want to be with friends. You want to laugh and kind of talk with each other like we were today, and then get quiet. And so now you'll notice that it's much more livelier, more open. There's more of a feeling of family and community. That is part of it. It's just the growing of Dhamma that's very natural. But the thing that we have never let go of, from Buddha to Mun to Cha, Sumedho, Rodney, us, is this thread of Dhamma and the Thai forest lineage. And we will continue that as long as we can. So part of what Tim was sharing is the what brought us into being. And what I want to share is that we want this to continue way beyond us, way past our lives, so that it continues forevermore, and that this thread is just carried. So whatever we need to do, I mean, this is a different world we're living in here. Whatever we need to do, we're living in a different world, because pretty much for the entire time Seattle Insight's been in existence, we haven't had to pay very much money. So we could just kind of move along. For the 5 years we were at SOTO, we didn't pay any rent. And this is not the case now. This is, we definitely have to pay for this space. So there's a reality of having to actually generate enough dollar to pay for it, which I trust. That's what the whole point is that Seattle Insight doesn't have to carry you. We carry Seattle Insight. We carry this thread, and we never let go of it. So I want to end with one more thing that the Buddha said. This is what he said after he had been enlightened, after he had come to the understanding and the realization of a liberated mind, and after he had taught for 45 years. This is what he said. He goes, "It's just as if a person traveling along a wilderness track were to see an ancient path, an ancient road traveled by people of former times. They would follow it. And following it, they would see an ancient city, an ancient capital, inhabited by people of former times, complete with parks and groves and ponds, walled and delightful. And they would go to the elders of that land and tell them what they saw and ask them to rebuild that city. And the elders would rebuild the city so that at a later date, the city would become prosperous, powerful, rich, and well-populated, fully grown. In the same way, I saw an ancient path, an ancient road, traveled by the rightly self-awakened ones of former times. And what is that ancient path, that ancient road traveled by the rightly self-awakened ones of former times? Just this noble eightfold path, right view, right aspiration, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. That is the ancient path, the ancient road traveled by the rightly self-awakened ones of former times. I followed that path, and following it, I came to direct knowledge of aging and death, direct knowledge of the origination of aging and death, direct knowledge of the cessation of aging and death, direct knowledge of the path leading to the cessation of aging and death. Following that path, I came to direct knowledge of birth, becoming, clinging, craving, feeling, contacts, the six sense doors, name and form, consciousness, and direct knowledge of the origination of consciousness, direct knowledge of the cessation of consciousness, and direct knowledge of the path leading to the cessation of consciousness. I followed that path. Knowing all this directly, I have revealed it to monks, nuns, male lay followers and female lay followers, and anyone that considers himself a practitioner, so that this holy life has become powerful, rich, detailed, well-populated, widespread, proclaimed by both celestial and human beings.
I'd like to read a poem from the First Free Women. So this is a collection of poems that are renderings of the Theragata, the awakening poems of the early Buddhist nuns, who are also our ancestors, also part of our lineage. And this one is called Rohini, Wandering Star. You don't become the cloth just because you put on robes. You don't turn into empty space just because you carry a bowl. The sun doesn't bow down. Trees don't throw flowers at your feet. Birds don't start answering when you call. The path will hold even the biggest mistakes. The path will make room for even your deepest regrets. But you don't become the cloth of the robe overnight. It can begin very quietly, something you barely even notice, like the touch of water on your skin, like a knife in a drawer, like the next 5 minutes, unless they're your last. The path isn't a line on a map. It's a great shining world. Enter wherever you like. You might get thrown back once or twice, but if you push through the outer layers, oh, my sisters, then you will know the true welcome that is the very essence of the path. Then you will know the true welcome that is the very essence of the path. So now, Ajahn Nisubo is kindly going to lead us in the refuges and precepts. Hold for a second.
We are going to try this a little formally, but we will not be saying it in Pali.
Thank you. Oh, please.
Okay. So, Ajahn Nisubo, we request the three refuges and the five precepts. For the second time, Ajahn Nisubo, we request the three refuges and the five precepts. For the third time, Ajahn Nisubo, we request the three refuges and the five precepts.
So for 2,500 years, people have stumbled through some of the Pali on this, so we're going to try our best. We'll do some English, too. People can repeat after me, line by line. We'll do Pali for the refuges, and then we'll do Pali in English for the actual precepts.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa.
So I'll recite a line and then repeat after me.
Buddhang saranam gacchami.
Dhammang saranam gacchami.
Sanghang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami.
Ti sarana kamanang
nittitang, and you say ama bante.
Pangati pata veramani. Sika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living creature.
Adinadana veramani. Sika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given.
Kame sumi chachara. Veramani sika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct.
Musawada veramani. Sika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from lying.
Sura meraya majapamada tana. Veramani sika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking into intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness.
Imani pancha sika parani si lena sugiting yanti si lena boga sampara si lena nibuting yanti tasama si lang viso daye.
These are the five precepts. Virtue is the source of happiness. Virtue is the source of true wealth. Virtue is the source of peacefulness. Therefore, let virtue be purified. And you say, sadhu.
All right, wonderful celebration. You know, the chanting by Ajahn, the voice is from Tweri and Carrie, the poems, and most of all your participation. So thank you so much, and I hope to see you along the path that this new sense.
Just appreciation and onward. Yes.
Wow. So we did pretty good. We did not. The thread, I'm going to tell people about it. So there are some scissors, if Cheryl can grab them off of the table. There's a whole bunch of scissors, and if you'd like to take a little bit of that thread with you, we're just going to bring them here, and you can cut them. They were
underneath the desk.
Oh, underneath. And then for those of you online that didn't get a thread, if you ever come to Seattle Insight in person, we have plenty of thread here. Please cut yourself some. And if you just cannot wait, because you may not even live in Seattle. I mean, I know at least one person that lives in Australia. That I've been trying to get them to come, but I don't know if they're going to come. But they can come and get a piece of thread. But the other thing is you can email us and we can send you a piece so that you have it. Because there is something about looking at that thread. And the thing I want you to remember is, it's like taking a piece of thread from a monastic robe that carries through with us. So you just take a piece and remind yourself of it. And then we refresh it every year. At the beginning of the year, we hold a refuges and precepts ceremony. All right.
If I missed anybody, you might look around.
Oh, yes. Make sure if you're not intertwined in there, that we get some intertwining, twining it around him. Okay, so Nana, I don't think your name was mentioned, but Nana was a big help with the whole gathering together of Donna and the people that were offering, and him and Suze and Susan all worked together to make all of that happen. So we missed you, but I want to call you out because you're going to come up and kind of direct people for the next part.
So I'm between you and the Buddha's entertainment upstairs. But before we migrate upstairs, and before I share a few words to close us out, I just want to ask you all, if you may, just take a moment, and for folks online, if you can peer into the room, just look around you. Like you've never seen the space before, literally, at the most mundane and the most interesting things. And by the way, this is the newest the space will ever be. Yet, may it be a place and a source of renewal for us on our Dharmic journey. Now, a lot of what I have here has already been said, so I won't repeat myself. But I want to open, firstly, with thanks for our guidance teachers, Tweri and Tim, and to our teacher, Carrie. And certainly to the esteemed presence of Ajahn Nisabo, thank you, and the folks from Clare Mountain Monastery. We're really glad you can make it. I'd also be remiss if I didn't really acknowledge the work of every single volunteer, the lead volunteers, and certainly those who supported the work. And Dave, I'm looking at you. This is a perfect segue to make a pitch for why volunteering at Sims deepens your practice. And I think it's something we all know, so I'm just reflecting back what you already know. Taking a page from retreat, if you've been on retreat, you go on retreat, and one of the things that is told to you is the importance of your dana work. Now, I think in the context of the Sangha, when we talk about being a volunteer, it sounds like an obligation, something you have to do. In my personal experience, you know, the last 6 years have been quite transformative in my life, sort of going upside down. And I'll tell you, I found a lot of refuge in being a volunteer, that dana work. It's a very difficult period. My two sons are here with me, and they represent that difficulty and that opportunity for me. But in doing so, I also had the opportunity to connect with several folks, some I'm looking at now. Who have been very pivotal, without them knowing, in my own healing, my own dharmic journey. Therefore, I just really want to entreat you. Dave made sure I knew what the open positions are. There's an open position for an AV person. So if you have those skills, you've been making a big difference. We have openings for web folks, right? And then for registrars as well. Did I miss anything?
That's great.
Yeah. But those jobs sound mundane, but it's in the dharmic vein. Therefore, you would be making connections with potential Kalyana Mitras who would be pivotal in your journey, speaking for myself. Now, it's almost time to socialize. And you already know your way around here, but if you don't, just follow the hallway. This is not the time I would encourage you to be an NPC, but just follow the trail where everyone's going, or use one of these doors to go upstairs to the social hall. There's food up there. There's also an opportunity for us to say hi to each other and be family, like Turin mentioned earlier, in this collective brown yarn vein. Did I miss anything? I don't think I did. Oh, yes. Suze, I almost forgot that. Thanks. So the blessing flags up there. The requirement is to use no more than 4 words. And if you're online, please send your words to Mr. Yasuhara, who will get it on to the right folks. And if you're here and you're so inclined, please get involved with your blessing flags upstairs. With that said, thank you. Good afternoon.
You can just tell them we're going to hang them up.
Oh, yes. We're going to hang them up upstairs. So you would be behind the lawyers.
You can already see the box.
Exactly. It'll sort of be like the star. Yeah, you'll be able to see it upstairs and read them off. So with that said, thank you. Sending much metta. See you upstairs.